2 John, and we're going to be looking at verses 5 and 6. 2 John 1, 5 says, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." I've got a question for you tonight. What is the opposite of love? Biblical love. What's the opposite of biblical love? Very good. Very good. Selfishness. Most of the time when we think of the opposite of love, we think of hate. But that's not the opposite of biblical love. The opposite of biblical love is selfishness. And it's good for us to remember that because, remember, that love is a self-sacrificial giving of yourself to meet the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. So biblical love is unselfish. Right? The love that romantic love is more of an emotional love, whereas biblical love is a choice. Biblical love, God can command it because it's not a feeling. It's pretty hard to command a feeling. You know, if I told you, I command you to be happy. Well, you might go, well, that doesn't mean you're happy. All right? You can't command an emotion. But you can command something that can be done. And it is possible to love someone with biblical love that you don't really like very well. Because biblical love is a choice. Biblical love is the sacrificial giving of yourself to meet someone's needs, to help someone, to be a blessing to someone, to be an encouragement to someone. And so, tonight as we look at this, we're going to look at this subject of loving one another. And we're going to start out tonight by looking at John's request. John's request was found in verse number 5. And I said his request because notice how he starts out verse number 5. He says, "Now I beseech thee." The word beseech is a word that means to beg or to ask or to request. And so John, now remember John. John was the youngest of the apostles. And when John was writing this letter, it was toward the end of his life. It was probably near around year 95 to 97 A.D. And Jesus left this earth about 32, 33 A.D. All right, so it was about 60 to 65 years after Christ left the world. So, John then was an old man. John could have, because of being an old man, he could have said, "Listen, I'm much older than you, and I've been around a lot longer than you. I actually talked with Jesus Christ, and I command you to love one another." But John didn't do that. He said, "I beseech you." He begged this lady, Korea, that we had talked about, and her children. He begged them to obey God's command to love one another. Now, to come across in that kind of a way is much kinder, much gentler, much easier to receive than if somebody commands us. You know, we go through those same kind of things. If somebody asks you real nicely to do something, it's a whole lot easier to do it than if they are kind of gruff and say, "Do it because I said so." You know, our flesh kind of rebels against that sometimes. But if we're kind and gentle about it, it's much easier to receive. And so John was approaching it in a much gentler way than he could have because he had the authority, he had the power because of who he was and his age to speak much more authoritatively. It reminds me of a wise statement that I've heard, and I've shared it with you before, but it bears repeating again. Questions stir the conscience. Accusations harden the heart. Now, that's not really what John's talking about here, but it's got some of the similarities. If we approach a person in a gentle way, we can get a much better response than if we approach them in a harsher way. And so John was approaching them in a kind way. Now, the way we approach counseling situations makes a real big difference. And all of us are involved in counseling situations. You may not have you know, somebody come in to see you and sit down in your office and ask you, you know, to help them through their problems. It may not be that kind of counseling, but their parents counsel the children. They have talks with the children. And if we do that in a loving, kind way, it's much easier to get a good response. When we're even counseling our spouse or giving our input in a decision, you know, there's gentle ways to do it and there's harsh ways to do it. And if we do it in the kind and gentle way, it'll be much easier to receive. Okay, so that's a good thing we can learn from that little bit there that can be a help to us. So it reminds me also of Solomon's words over in Proverbs 15:1, where he says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." So a soft answer is going to calm things down, but a harsh answer is going to stir up trouble. And so we need to be kind and gentle as John was. Now his request was to obey Christ's command. And he's speaking to this woman, Korea, and her children. And he said, the command that I'm giving you, notice there, what's he say there? Though not as though I wrote unto you, what's the next word? A what? A new commandment. All right, you got to look. You can't just come out of the air. All right. He said, I'm not giving you a new commandment. I'm giving you an old commandment. And when he said that, it's interesting because remember now, he was writing about 50, 60, 70 years after the time of Christ. And so it was not a new commandment. It wasn't something that recently given. It was something that was given by Christ 60 or 70 years ago, before his time. And so it had been around for quite a while. And he was commanding them to love one another as Christ commanded us to love one another. And we find that command of Jesus in John chapter 13, verse 34. John 13, 34 says, a new commandment I give unto you. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye love one another. Jesus said, I want you to love one another like I love you. That's a pretty big command. Christ loved him. Now how, you know, when you see that, we ask ourselves, well, how did Christ love? And that'll help us to see what he's saying. And we're going to talk about that a little in a moment. But the command here originated with Christ. Now, let me point out something in the grammar here that you can't see, but it does make a difference in our understanding of it. When John said there that we are to love one another, all right, so he says, there's a new commandment I give unto you that you should love one another. The phrase there is a subjunctive. Now, the subjunctives are, it's a situation that's a possibility if the circumstances are right. And he's saying you can do this if the situations are right. Now, the situation involved here would be involving us making that choice. If we choose to love, we can love one another. It's a choice. And it's because of the way that it's written here, he's emphasizing the fact that it needs to be done repeatedly. Repeatedly. We need to continually love one another. And he's emphasizing this so that Christians, he emphasizing Christian brotherly love because for a reason. All right, so if you read down through the rest of the chapter, next week or next time we're in here anyway, we're going to find out that he's going to have to address a difficult situation. He's going to have to say, you know, there's some people that you should not let into your house. And you know, you could look at it and say, well, that's not very loving. He said, don't even let them in your house. Don't even say good day to them. Just send them away. And that sounds kind of harsh. And I think that that's probably why John starts out by talking about loving one another. He said, for genuine Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to love them like Christ loved you. And he said, when it comes to the people that are heretics, people that are teaching false doctrine, he says, you're not to love them like you love your brother. Now, he didn't say to hate them. He just said, turn them away and don't help them. Now, remember, the opposite of biblical love is not hate. The opposite of biblical love is to not share yourself with them or to be selfish. And we're to be selfish with our heart when it comes to false teaching. And we're going to be seeing that later on when we get into that. All right. So he lays out the request, and the request was to that they love one another as Christ loved them. Now, John then goes on in verse 6 and gives them a reminder. Verse 6 says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. All right, so he's just giving them a reminder. He says, this is the love. The love for one another is that he just mentioned. He says, this is what I'm talking about, the love for one another. And he said, in order to do that, in order to have that love, we need to walk after Christ's commandments. So that makes you scratch your head. So he's saying, you need to obey Christ's commandments if you're going to love one another. Well, what commandments is he talking about? He didn't specify. It could be that he's talking about all that Christ commanded. And then you start looking back over Christ's ministry. What all did he command us to do? Well, there's a lot of stuff he commanded us to do. All right? And let me give you some examples of this. And then afterwards, I'll narrow it down to where I think he's headed. But some examples of this, Mark chapter 12, and verse 30 and 31, Jesus was quoting from the Old Testament, and he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So Jesus said, here's the first commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second commandment, love your brother as yourself, or your neighbor as yourself. Okay, love your neighbor as yourself. So God's commanding us to love. Another commandment that Jesus gave was to treat others like we want to be treated. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Matthew 7, 12 says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And we've kind of paraphrased that verse to say, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. All right? So you need to do to others like you want to do to you, and that is a command from Jesus. Another command that he gave was to love one another, and another place that he mentioned this is in John chapter 15, verse 17. It says, these things I command you, that ye love one another. He also commanded us to love as he loved us. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And here's where I want to develop that a little bit. Think about that. How did Christ love us? Well, he loved us sacrificially. He gave himself to his disciples. He left heaven's glory to come to this earth. That's a big one. To think that God, the creator of the universe, left heaven, came down to this earth, became like one of his creatures that he made, lived on earth with them, humbled himself to do that, and lived among men for 33 years, and then died on the cross, was buried, and rose again to pay for a sin that he never committed. Now that's sacrificial. That is the ultimate of sacrificial. And we read about that in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 9, where it says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus left heaven's riches to come to be poor on this earth, that he might be able to make us rich so that we could go to spend eternity with him in heaven. And that's why he did it. But that's giving of himself to meet needs of another. That is love. Now, his word commanded also husbands to love their wives as he loved them. It's a big task. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We as husbands are to love our wife like Christ loved us and died for us, sacrificially. And that is not just, you know, be nice to them. That is to go out of our way to meet their needs. And that takes sacrifice. It takes humility. It takes work. But that's what we are called upon to do, to give ourselves to meet the needs of our spouse. The word also commands that we need to be kind and forgiving. Ephesians 4 and verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God forgave us. He wants us to forgive others. He wants us to be kind to each other. And again, that's a command. Wasn't necessarily right from the words of the Lord Jesus here in Ephesians, but he is the author of the scripture, he and the Holy Spirit, so it ultimately came from him. And then Christ's command commanded the believers to let their light shine. Matthew 5:16, we're to let our light shine. He also said that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Luke 16:15. And so these are just ways that we are commanded to do what he wants us to do. Now, in reality, all the commands in the Bible that are focused on Christians are commands from Christ to us. And so as we look at this, you ask yourself, well, which one of these commands was he talking about when he says that we are to love one another as he commanded us? And we're to walk after his commandments. Walk after his commandments. We're going to love. Well, I think that probably he was focusing primarily on the commandments about love. There was a commandment in, you know, the Old Testament there when Jesus said, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus commanded them to love each other like he loved them. And this, he says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And so he commanded them to have love. And I think that he was probably primarily talking about the commands regarding love, to love one another. And we're to walk in those commandments if we're going to please him and do what is honoring to him in this area. Now, he also applied this love. John applied this love, and he said that true love is then walking in Christ's commandment, walking in his commandment. And again, it's the same grammatical phrase that he had there before. It's depending on our actions. It's depending on us to respond, to act, and to choose to do that. And it's something that needs to be done regularly and repeatedly. So we need to regularly and repeatedly be walking in his commandments. Now, walking refers to putting in something into action. Okay? Walking, if he says, walk in my commandments, it means put it into action. Alright? It wasn't take the Bible down and step on it. It's not talking about that. It's talking about walking as he said to walk, or to live as he said to live. So we're putting into action the things that he told us to do. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, John wrote there, he said, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So what does he mean? Don't love in word, don't love in tongue, but love in deed and truth. He said, it's not about what you say. You know, you can go up to somebody and say, oh, I love you, but you don't treat them like it. He says, that's not love. Love isn't just saying it. He said, don't love in word, but love in deed and in truth. By our actions, by what we do. Do we show that we love someone by the way we treat them? And we're going out of our way to meet their needs and to help them, to be a blessing to them, an encouragement to them, and sacrificing for them. And we need to remember then that love is a sacrificial giving of ourselves to meet the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. So it means we're going to go out of our way to help someone else. You girls, if you're going to be loving to your brothers, all right, that means you're going to have to go out of your way to meet a need that they have, even though they may never thank you for it or do anything back for you. All right? And same thing with you boys, you know, toward your sisters or toward your mom and dad. Love is giving of yourself to do something for someone else, to be a blessing to them, to be a help to them, even if it never means that you're going to get anything for it. It is giving of yourself to meet their needs. And our problem is not the definition of this love. It's the application. It isn't that what he said is doing it. That's the hard part. It's not understanding it. We understand that love is giving ourselves to help someone else, to be a help and a blessing to somebody else. But the hard part is putting it into action and actually doing it. And we may say that we love Christ, but if we're not selfless enough to obey his commandments, we show him that we don't truly love him. And we may think, it's one thing to talk about loving our spouse. It's quite another thing to selflessly meet their needs. A lot of difference. Same thing with fellow Christians. You know, we can talk about how we love all the Christians, but we need to be kind toward them and helpful toward them and loving toward them and not selfish if we truly love them. Now, to love one another, we're going to need God's help. We really are. Sometimes it's hard to love people. Some people aren't very easy to love. And we need God's help. And that's why, remember the fruits of the Spirit? What's the very first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And the very first one is love. And the fruit of the Spirit means that if we're walking in the way that the Spirit of God wants us to and we're staying close to Him, then He's able to produce that in us, even though it's not our natural response. He's able to help us to be loving, even when it's not our natural response. And so we need God's help to be able to love, especially when it's difficult. And as we flee the temptations that are around us and allow the Spirit to lead us, we can do that. Now we see lastly John's repetition. He repeats himself in the end of verse number 6. He says, and this is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. All right, so he kind of talks like he's, you know, just saying it all again. He said, well, this is the commandment that you've learned from the beginning. The one you heard from the beginning, from the time of Christ. You heard the commandment to love one another. He says, that's what I'm talking about. And, you know, we might look at it and think, well, John must have a short memory. He just said that a moment ago. But he's repeating it. And just like we've learned through somebody smarter than me made the statement, repetition is the key to learning. Repetition is the key to learning. So John's repeating himself to be able to help us to learn and to remember the things that he wants us to know. And the commandment he gave that was from the beginning, the time of Christ, hasn't changed. It was still active in the time of end of the first century when John was writing this, and it's still active today. God wants us to love one another as Christians and to show that love toward them. And that starts in our home. It starts in our family. It starts in our church. And it can spread out beyond that to other true believers beyond our church, but it needs to begin in our home. You know, if we are loving to other people at church but unloving to people in our home, we've not fulfilled the commandment, because it needs to start at home and then continue on from there. And John said that we should walk in it. We should walk in this. This is the word should there again. Once again, he's using that same grammatical form, something that ought to be done, and if it is done, it will complete what is commanded here. It's that present active subjunctive. It talks about a continual thing. It should be continually done. So God says, I want you to continually walk in love. I want you to continually obey this commandment to love one another. And so tonight, as we think about what he's saying here, I want us to focus on that one thought. God wants us to love one another. And it's not an emotional love. It's not a fuzzy feeling inside. It's going out of our way to care for others, to meet their needs. You can show love to a person that you don't particularly like by being nice to them, by being kind to them, by doing something helpful for them, by showing them your tenderness toward them and your care for them. And we need to start it in our homes. You children, some of you children don't love your mom and dad like you ought to. You know, if you talk back to them when they tell you to do something, you're not showing them love. You need to sacrifice yourself and obey them like you're supposed to. That's love. That's love. You don't treat your siblings like you love them, your brothers and sisters, like you love them. And love is not just a funny feeling inside, but love is giving of yourself to meet their needs. It's helping them when they need help. It is sharing with them when they need something. It is being a help and encouragement to them. And so we need to work together as a family. We need to work together as husbands and wives. We need to work together as children with your brothers and sisters and with your mom and dad. And then once we've done that, we also need to broaden it out to the people at church. A little easier sometimes to love the people at church because we put on our best front and so everybody thinks we're a nice person. And it's easier kind of to pitch in and help there. But even then, sometimes we're not as loving as we should be. And then we can reach out beyond that to others who genuinely know Christ. But then John's going to go on in the next section and talk about how there's some people that we're not to treat with love like that. And because they are not doctrinally correct. And we're going to talk about that in the next time we get into that. So tonight as we bring this together, remember, love, the opposite of biblical love is selfishness. And if we're selfish, we do not love. If we're loving, we're not selfish. And the two don't mix. It's like water and oil. You ever tried mixing water and oil? They just don't mix. And that's the way it is. Love and selfishness don't mix. And so we need to draw near to God and ask God to help us to love one another, starting in our homes, to love one another as God wants us to. And we need God's help to do that. Let the Holy Spirit produce His fruit in your life. Ask Him to help you to love one another.